witness. Ernest Sowell, would you rise to be sworn, please?
Do you swear or affirm that you will state the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Your name is Ernest Sowell?
Sowell, yes.
Sowell. And you are an inmate, Mr. Sowell, at Attica Correctional Facility?
Yes.
How long have you been at Attica?
Oh, maybe about a year and a half or more.
Right. Mr. Sowell, speak up so that all of us can hear you.
About a year and a half or more.
What offense are you there on now, presently?
Homicide, second-degree manslaughter.
And what is your term?
8 years, zip 8.
Is this the first time you've been in prison?
No, it isn't. I have been in other institutions in different states.
In different states?
Speak up.
Please speak up. We can't.
I have been in institutions in Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir. Now, where are you from originally?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Have you a family?
Yes, I have.
And who, what does your family consist of?
Mother, father, brothers and sisters.
And are they in Pennsylvania?
Yes, they are.
Other than in Philadelphia and in Pennsylvania, where else have you lived?
New York here and Jamaica, Queens, New York.
And where were you living at the time of this last conviction?
Manhattan.
At the time, were you using narcotics?
Not actually narcotics. I was using speed and marijuana.
I wonder if you'd tell us what speed is.
Well, speed is a drug that makes one, you know, energetic. It's not what you call, it's not nothing like you call that horse, heroin.
In other words, it's your feeling that it's not an addictive drug?
No.
However, it is illegal to use it.
Yes.
What kind of work have you done in the past, Mr. Sowell?
Well, I have done, you know, several little things, such as, you know, working in stores, working in laundries and stuff like that, painter and what have you.
Were you working at the time you were arrested?
No, I wasn't.
How far did you go in school?
They say the eighth grade, but when I took various courses there, tests rather, I found out I only went to the fifth grade. I had a fifth grade level.
Right. So although you attended eight grades of school, you were tested at a grade five level.
Yes.
Now, you say that prior to this time you have been in other correctional institutions in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Just briefly, have you been in any other correctional institutions here in New York State?
Yes, Toombs and Sing Sing.
In addition to Attica?
Yes.
Just briefly, I wonder if you could describe, if there is any, the differences of the system in the two states.
Yes, to me, Pennsylvania State, it seems to be more open. They have more recreation facilities than what this place, Attica, has.
Now, prior to coming to Attica, had you heard anything about it?
Yes, I learned quite a bit about it when I was in Sing Sing. Its reputation really wasn't, you know, up to par.
In other words, you'd say it had a bad reputation.
Yes, definitely so.
And you faced coming here with some apprehension?
Yes.
Now, you were in Sing Sing because that is the reception center, isn't it, for persons convicted down in the New York City area, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And how long did you spend in Sing Sing?
About a year.
Prior to coming to Attica?
Yes.
I wonder if you could compare those two institutions for us.
Sing Sing?
Yes.
Well, Sing Sing was very open in comparison to Attica. In other words, you were downstairs in the recreation hall that they have down there. You could go to the yard from this recreation hall, so you wasn't really confined as much as what you are in Attica.
In other words, although Sing Sing is maximum security, you feel that Attica is even more maximum security than Sing Sing?
Yes, I do.
Now, when did you first come to Attica? I believe you told us, but would you tell us again?
I believe it was 69.
Would you tell me what your first impressions were when you approached and came into Attica?
Well, when I first seen Attica, it looked like a big castle. As I entered Attica, it seemed more or less like a dungeon to me.
And where were you first housed when you came to Attica?
Reception.
I wonder if you could, if you're able to point that out on the map at your left.
Quite frankly, I can't, because like I never seen it from this particular angle before.
Fine. In other words, that's a nice picture, but that could be any place as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
You've never had an air view of Attica.
No, I haven't.
When you were assigned to the reception area, did you receive any orientation?
Somewhat. Nothing really definite. Just things in general.
Were you given a rule book?
Yes, I was.
Do you know whether that rule book was rules for Attica or rules for the New York State prison system?
New York State prison system, because I acknowledge it as being the same as any other place.
Now, you're presently in E Block, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
In the DVR program.
Yes, I am.
All right, but prior to that time, when you left recreation, where did you go? I mean, not recreation, reception, where did you go?
I went to B Block.
B Block.
Yes.
And what was your job assignment?
I was assigned to the metal shop.
And how long did you work in the metal shop?
Well, I stayed in the metal shop about maybe 2 months. I wasn't assigned a job there because of my disability.
So that you were rejected as a worker in the metal shop?
Yes.
What is your disability?
I have seizure, epileptic.
You're an epileptic?
Yes.
How long have you been an epileptic?
As far as I can recollect, from what my parents told me, ever since I was 8 years of age.
And during that period of time, you have had epileptic seizures?
Yes, I have.
And is that part of your record in prison?
Yes, it is.
And you require a constant medication, don't you?
Yes, I do, 4 times a day.
And what kind of medication?
Phenobarbital and Dilatin.
Now, without this, would you be subject to seizures frequently?
Yes, I would.
With the use of this medication, are you subject to seizures occasionally?
Very rare.
Now, when you arrived at Attica, let's go back. At that time, was it on your record coming from Sing Sing that you were an epileptic?
Yes, it was. Matter of fact, one of the officers that came up with us had my medication in his possession.
Right. And when you arrived at Attica, did you request your medication?
Yes, I did.
Was it given to you?
No, it wasn't.
Did you ever receive, when did you first receive medication?
It was that night, maybe about 5 hours later.
And why was it that you received it then?
Because one of the officers who acknowledged I was having a seizure, he was able to get some, you know, through the hospital by some means, I don't know.
In other words, you had a seizure?
Yes.
And as a result, you did get the medication?
Yes.
Had you specifically asked the doctor prior to that for?
I had asked the doctor, I had put in what they call a tab in order to see the doctor.
Now, to come back, Mr. Sowell, when you were rejected for work in the metal shop because of your disability, where were you assigned from that?
C Block.
You went from B Block to C Block. And what was your assignment there?
I was on idle company.
Idle company, meaning you had no job assignment.
Right.
Was this of your own choosing?
No, it wasn't.
Now, when you're in idle company, what do you do during the day?
Well, there's the yard, it's open for a short period of time, and then back to the cells.
Did you go to the yard?
Occasionally, but really very seldom, due to the fact that it was quite cold.
Oh, this was during the winter, and
yes.
It was cold. So when you didn't go to the yard, how much time did you spend in your cell?
I guess just about all day, except for going to the mess hall.
Right. And how long were you in C Block?
About 2 or 3 months.
Oh, by the way, is C block different from B block?
Yes, it has, well, downstairs on the flats, they have metal doors that slide back with a little glass in it.
In other words, you can look out on the yard and it has a window.
Yes.
Unlike B block where there are bars in front and solid walls all around.
Right, absolutely.
More pleasant to stay there?
No, no. I prefer where I am now, but I just have to
be. Well, we'll get to that, sir. Now, you were in C block for how long?
For 2 or 3 months.
Where are you presently? E block?
E block.
How did you happen to get to E block?
Well, I was told by an officer, which is here today with me, you know, just by some coincidence, who was hall captain in C block, that E block was available for people who had disabilities. And from that, I wrote to Mr. Glover, who was head of DVR.
All right, let's go back, head of DVR. In other words, that's where DVR takes place in E block.
Yes.
What is DVR?
Division of Rehabilitation.
Vocational Rehabilitation. Right. And did you see Mr. Glover? Is Mr. Glover the supervisor of the program?
Yes, he is.
And did you get an opportunity to speak to him?
Yes, I did, by putting in a tab.
Right. And we understand that, sending a note to him.
Yes.
And you did have the interview with Mr. Glover?
Yes, I did.
And as a result of this...
Because of my disability.
And at the time you went into DVR, were all of the men there in some way disabled?
Yes.
Now, we spoke about DVR being an E block. How does E block differ from B and C blocks?
Well, out there in the population, to me, it appears as though it's a dungeon, you know, like it's dull. It's like a person who's been put in a cave, and going to E block is like coming out into, you know, a new world where, say, for instance, when you enter into E block, the colors there, for instance, is so bright. The whole place looks like it's a new environment, completely different from that of population.
So that physically, E block is a more attractive place.
Definitely.
I understand
so.
They have a day room there.
Yes.
Indoor recreation.
Yes.
I understand that it's the only place in the facility where an inmate can watch television inside.
Yes, as far as my knowledge, it is.
And I understand that you even watched these proceedings yesterday here.
Yes, I did.
Do you know whether the other men are able to see this?
Yes, as far as the general population, I don't know, but our fellows in D block, yes. I mean E block.
And I understand, too, that you have greater mobility, less security. You can move around within the E block area.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, and I understand your doors, you have doors on hinges, actually, to the where you live.
Yes, it's like, in comparison to population, it's like, you know, your own room at home or something, you know, where you can open your door.
Let me ask you this. You said there were 65 or thereabout inmates in the DVR program prior to the difficulties of September of last year. How many are in the program now?
I believe it's 43.
So there has been, there are some differences.
Yes, there is.
Fine. Let me ask you about the DVR program. I understand that when you enter the program, after you become settled, a counselor is assigned to you to explain the program.
That is true.
Did this happen to you in the general population when you first came in?
Not that I recall, no.
Did you find that this was helpful, the counselor explaining what the program was?
Yes, it made it much easier for me to understand the procedures there.
Yesterday we heard an explanation and a description of the token economy system, that is the use of poker chips as a medium of exchange, so I won't ask you about how it operates. But I would like to ask you this, how did you earn your tokens?
Well, getting up in the morning, for instance, that was automatically, if you got up in the morning, you got one or two tokens. I believe it was two tokens for getting up in the morning. I help with the laundry, participate in the school, self-study courses, and what have you. I earned 50 tokens for entering into the shop, which is downstairs in the basement. And that would be about it.
Well, as a result of this token economy, you were able to sustain your wants, your commissary needs?
Yes, the necessities that I need, you know, toothpaste, soap, and so on and so forth, toilet tissue if I needed that.
Right. Did you receive anything from home, any packages?
No, my people are quite far away, and it would be, you know, like putting a burden on them if I were to ask them.
Now, I understand, too, that the DVR program at that time had its own commissary.
Yes, it did.
Right. Now, how did this differ from the commissary used by the rest of the prison population?
Well, I felt that because of commissary being there in the block, it made it quite easy for us to, you know, get the little things that we need. And besides, it was open 5 days a week, which we could go there any time of the day and purchase whatever we wanted to. It differed because we could send out things directly through this commissary, you know, like we could send for different things.
Did they have, were the items contained in this DVR commissary, were they any different from the, did you have any additional items or items there
yes,
that you wouldn't get?
There were many things that we had that we could get through this commissary, such as our own clothing, you know, material like that, shirts.
And what would your evaluation of the token economy system be? Did you like it?
Yes, I did.
And how was it beneficial to you?
Because I could buy the things that I wouldn't normally be able to under the circumstances. I wasn't, you know, really getting enough money from the state to purchase all the things that I need.
And do you also believe that, was it beneficial to you in any other way?
Yes. I could always find means in which to stay out and watch television, you know, stuff like that.
You could buy a night out?
Yes, I could.
In other words, it was more nearly approximated the outside world than the other parts of the institution.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Since the occurrences of September of last year, I understand that the token economy system is no longer in operation.
That's true.
Do you miss it?
Yes, I do.
Would you like to see it reinstituted?
Yes, I would.
You spoke about you could buy a night out. That's part of the night recreation
system. Yes, it is.
Where you could stay up until after 11 o'clock, wasn't it?
Yes.
And do they still have that?
No, they don't.
I'd like to ask you about the education or the school program in DVR. I'm speaking now about prior to the September incidents. How many persons were in the school?
About 30.
And how many classes were there?
There were two in the morning, two in the afternoon.
And how many were in your class?
About anywhere from eight or nine.
Did you find that it was easy to learn with a group this size?
Yes, it was very easy.
I understand that, was it there that you found that you your education was on a fifth grade level?
Yes, it was.
And you took aptitude tests?
Yes, I did.
And I understand, who ran the school?
Mr. Redfern.
Redfern. And what did he have to say to you about the schooling?
Well, he told me that if I chose to take it upon myself, that I could possibly, you know, increase my education and do many things for myself in a way of getting myself, you know, in a position to do something for myself.
Do you think that Mr. Redfern was interested in you?
Yes, he took great interest in everybody.
I wonder if you would tell me what equipment or what materials were in the school or what the courses were.
Well, we had the basic mathematical books and English and spelling and, you know, stuff in general, languages.
I understand that there were many books available.
Yes, there were.
I further understand that they had a black history course. Was that taught by Mr. Redfern?
No, that was taught by one of the inmates from population.
Right. Did you find it a helpful course?
Yes, because like many of the things which were discussed down there was related to me, where it did help me to see many things as they were.
By the way, how old are you, Mr. Sowell?
30 years of age.
Did you learn in this school program?
Yes, I did.
Right. Helpful learning? Learning,
yes.
You think that's going to help you on the outside?
Definitely so.
Right. I understand that you began on an intermediate level. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
That's the fifth grade level.
Yes.
And I understand that you subsequently went into a high school equivalency class.
Yes.
And how long after your first enrollment did you get into this high school equivalency class?
I think it was two or three months at the most.
Right. So you progressed well.
Yes, I did.
Have you taken the high school equivalency test yet?
Yes, I did, in the last 2 weeks.
Last 2 weeks?
Yes.
And are you waiting the results now?
Yes, I am.
Well, certainly I wish you luck, and I'm sure all of us
Thank
do.
You.
I understand they also offer college-level courses.
That's true.
And assuming you're still in the program, do you intend to pursue these college-level
programs?
Yes, I
programs?
Do. We spoke about black history courses. What is the ratio of blacks and Puerto Ricans to whites in the DVR program?
Well, now I would say it's about 3 to 1.
3 to 1 what?
Whites in comparison to the black.
In other words, there are three times as many whites as blacks?
Yes.
From your knowledge, do you think that adequately reflects the prison population?
I would say to a certain extent, yes.
Do you say that are there more blacks than whites in the prison?
Definitely so.
But there are less blacks than whites in the program?
Yes.
I understand they have counseling programs there also.
That is true.
I understand there's a psychologist. How often can you see him?
Well, we can see the psychologist twice a week. That is Tuesday and usually Friday,
right,
or Thursday.
And how long are you generally with him when you see him?
A couple hours. All depends upon, you know, how serious you think that your problem may be.
So, and this, as I understand, is a voluntary program that you, seeing the psychologist.
Yes, it is.
Have you found it helpful?
Yes, I have.
How have you found this helpful to you?
Because when I first went into a DVR program, I was a very confused person. I was somewhat wrapped up within myself. I didn't socialize with people because I was more or less afraid of people or afraid what I would do. In the event that something had happened, you know, to me, I wouldn't know how to control it. But speaking to the psychiatrist and the psychologist, I found out that I could control this and many other things.
Fine. So it has been helpful to you.
Yes, it has.
And I understand they also have group counseling there.
That is true.
Now, is this called self-help groups? Is
yes,
that right?
That's true.
Would you like to tell us something about that?
Well, the individual himself is either told about this group by one of the inmates or perhaps even the psychologist, where the individual would go into these groups by himself, more or less with the understanding that he's there to help himself and to try to help one another while he's there.
You learned a lot about yourself there, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you learn to express yourself around other people?
Yes, I have. This is the most I've really talked to people in quite some time.
What did it do about your self-image?
Well, I think that the image in which I had about myself when I first entered this program, it wasn't too good. In other words, I looked at myself as more or less being nothing, you know, because like there was no form of identity there. But through this program, I have found myself, and I realize now that I am somebody and I can do something for myself.
So that the group counseling, too, you feel has been helpful to you?
Yes, it has.
Do you think other persons participating in the DVR program feel the same way?
I believe so.
Now, I'd like to ask you about the inmate-officer relationship in this unusual program. What is the relationship there?
Well, far as I can see, the relationship would be like, in general, you could get along with the officer, providing that the officer is willing to get along with you.
Right. How does it differ from when you were in the population?
Well, out there in population, it seemed to be more or less like a person who's in the service where officers shout out demands and what have you, you know, and this is what you will follow. Where over here in DVR, I find out the officers have a tendency of talking to you as a man more so than what they do out in population.
In other words, you feel there's more mutual respect between officer and inmate in this program?
Yes.
More relaxed, would you say?
Yes, I would.
Let me ask you this. How about the relationship between inmates, between inmates?
I think, generally speaking, that it's pretty good.
Better than in the population?
Yes, we don't have the hassles I believe that the population has.
What do you attribute that to?
I think it's the idea of being out of their cells more so than what population, having various things at their disposal more so than what population.
In other words, it's more close to a natural environment than the structured environment of the general population.
Yes, that is true.
Talking about officers, I understand that you can defend yourself if an officer, in your mind, wrongfully disciplines you. Is that true?
Yes, it is. If you're speaking of the group meetings we used to have.
Well, let me get into that. I understand that you're speaking of the community meetings.
Yes.
And I understand that they had these every Tuesday. Who participated in these?
Well, inmates, staff, and correction officers.
Right. Now, what was the purpose of these meetings?
It was to try to find out solutions to various problems, and if any inmate had any beef or officer or staff member, we could all bring it up and confront it and try to find solutions to these problems.
Right. Sometimes they got kind of heated, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
But did you find that this was helpful and resulted in a better relationship between officers, civilian personnel, and inmates?
I think the overall perspective is that inmates became more aware of what was being, you know, perpetrated among them.
Right. I understand also that last summer that the you had inmate committees for inmate participation in this program.
That is true.
Right. And that these men were chosen by an 8-man central committee.
That's true.
Do you feel that this was helpful?
I felt that was very beneficial.
Since the problems of September last year, are these community meetings still going on?
No, they're not.
They've been discontinued.
That's true.
Would you like to see them return?
Yes, I would.
There are a few things, Mr. Sal, we're not going to go into. I understand that there are shops there also.
That's true.
Where you can learn basic skills that you can use when you get on the outside.
That's true, providing that the individual is willing to, you know, get involved.
And you help to get involved because you do receive counseling, don't you?
That's true.
I understand, too, that there was a newspaper and that you were involved in that.
That's true.
Is that going on now?
No, it isn't.
Would you like to see that return?
Yes, I would.
Now, how about the medical care you receive in DVR? Do you find it adequate?
Yes, I do. When I first entered DVR, I found out that I could go to a specialist and be treated for whatever the ailment was.
When are you eligible to leave Attica, Mr. Sowell?
June, I go to the parole board.
Right, so that's possible that you might receive a date at that time.
Right.
All right. Let me ask you this. Assuming you're still in DVR, will this be the end of DVR? If you are fortunate enough to get out after this, Is that the end of DVR for you?
No, it isn't. It's my understanding that DVR will follow me all the way through and provide the necessary things for me in the event that I should need them.
You mean on the outside?
Yes.
That the program is continued?
Yes.
And that they help you? How would they help you on the outside?
By getting me a job or continue, in other words, further my education by putting up the money so that I would be able to go to college if I want to continue my education.
And do you want to continue with
it? Yes, I do, most definitely.
What do you want to do?
I want to be able to relate to a lot of the younger fellows who are in different institutions about my own personal experience and being in confinement and in general, just go out and try to inform them what this place is all about.
Let me ask you this. When you were arrested on this present charge, I understand you were on parole from Pennsylvania.
That is true.
Did you have any kind of help like that when you were on parole?
No, I didn't.
In the event you were fortunate enough to receive parole, do you think this DVR would help you to stay out?
Yes, I do. It's my understanding that you'll always have a telephone number to call in the event that you have any difficulty.
Let me ask you about the overall effect. I would say, and I think that it would be, I think it's self-evident that you feel this is a good program.
Yes, I do.
Do you think that other people in the institution would benefit from this?
I really do.
Now, you were in B block, C block, and E block, and you had a chance, maybe to a limited degree, to mix with some of the rest of the inmate population. Do you feel that many of these people could benefit from the DVR program?
I do.
In other words, you feel that it's not necessary. I know you're not a penologist, but you don't feel it's necessary that all of these men have to be in maximum security circumstances.
Definitely not.
In other words, this has helped you and you feel it would help other inmates.
Yes, I do.
You were convicted of a crime of violence.
Yes.
And you feel that this will equip you to go out and to relate and to adjust to some of the pressures of a society.
More so than what population would.
Now, let's be realistic, Mr. Sowell. You say these nice things about DVR. Do you want to stay there for the rest of your life?
No. I want to go home.
All right. Good. So in other words, it's still prison.
Yes.
However, you think that you are at least able to maintain your manhood and self-respect in a DVR program.
Yes.
You know, you got into this program as a result of being handicapped. I understand now of the 43 men who are in there now, not all of them are handicapped.
The overwhelming majority are not handicapped.
Right. So that now that is no longer a criteria to get into the program.
That is true.
And would you like to have it just open to more people, have this expanded?
Yes, I would.
Fine. You're an epileptic, you're young, you're black, been convicted of a crime of violence, have a possible parole violation hanging over you now. Were you bitter when you got into Attica?
Yes, I was.
You bitter now?
I'm bitter at some of the things, but not all of the things. I think my biggest hassle is the court system.
Right.
Because I don't feel as though that I was given due justice.
You feel as a result of this program you can better cope with this bitterness?
Definitely so. I think that this program, DVR, has helped me to see this what this really is.
All right, fine. I want to thank you for myself and tell you that certainly it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'd like to ask Dean McKay whether he has any questions or the members of the commission.
Mr. Sowell, I was much interested in your discussion of the fact that you were able to watch these hearings in E Block yesterday. How did you feel about that in watching the hearings as an inmate in an institution where the institution itself was being discussed?
I think it was a beginning of something that could very possibly be beneficial to, you know, Attica whole population as a whole, where people will begin to accept the fact that there are people out here trying to do something for us.
Was that the similar reaction to others of your fellow inmates who watched?
No, some of the things that we heard was really wasn't where it was at. Some of the things were said was true, and many other things was false.
We'll perhaps ask you that privately a little later. Do you have any idea whether the television was available in the yards? I wasn't quite sure of your answer before.
I don't know about population, but I know by E-block.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Hennix, have you questions?
Yes, I only have one question I'd like to ask you here. Is there any drug education program in the DVR unit?
I don't know what you mean by drug...
Drug education, when I say that, I mean to make you aware of the results of using unprescribed drugs.
No, I don't believe so. I think that they had a group there that's just beginning to work on that particular aspect.
Yeah. I brought that up as a question because you said that you didn't use addictive drugs in the sense that you only use speed and marijuana, you see. But being in this area myself, I happen to know that speed not only kills, it is addictive, you see, and that's just one of the reasons I asked the question. In addition to that, I'd like to ask you concerning the Black Studies course. You said that the inmate teacher from the general population teaches the Black Studies course. Is this person black?
No, he wasn't.
He's not. I'd like to ask you, in addition to that, in this Black Studies course, and it deals with Black history?
Yes.
Another part of the question is there anything that you're learning in the Black Studies course that is anti-American or subversive or anti-prison authority?
No, there's nothing in there like that.
Thank you.
Mr. Sowell, you are entitled, as I think you've been told, to make an independent statement that is not responsive to any questions. There's something that you would like the commission to know and the public to know. Is there any statement you would like to make?
No more than I hope that the people out of society will not forget us as a whole. Because there are many young guys in there looking for means of identity and looking for ways in which to better themselves. And I think if the state or the people as a whole would look into this more so and try to provide many of the things in which is needed by all of us within these institutions, I think that we would have a better institution and we would produce more people ready for society as a whole.
Thank you very much for your statement and for being with us today. The morning session of the hearings is now recessed. We will reconvene at 2 o'clock.
Nice guy. Ooh.